Ready to serve.
Yes, me lord.
What is it?
Hello.
Okay.
Righto.
All right.
Yes, me lord.
Job's done.
Oh, what?
Now what?
More work?
Leave me alone. I don't want to do this.
I'm not listening.
Ready to work.
Awaiting orders.
Your command.
Your orders.
Yes, sire.
Yes, my lord.
At your service.
Yes. Yes, my lord.
As you wish.
At once, sire.
Work completed.
Make up your mind.
Are you still touching me?
Don't you have a kingdom to run?
I do have work to do.
Join the army, they said.
See the world, they said.
I'd rather be sailing.
This week in your parents' basement, we are chopping down trees and mining gold in order to fund our quest to drive other species to extinction, a popular subject for us. From 1994 to 2002, we are playing the real-time strategy games of the Warcraft series. And also, from 2004, we might talk a little bit about World of Warcraft and its many expansions. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is regular co-host, Huell Hauser.
Ready to serve.
Job's done. And our other co-host, we've allowed him back into our lives like an abusive father. He does it because he loves us. It's Todd Brisket.
I'm a medieval man.
Oh, guys, you know... Let me just give you something real quick, okay? I've had a lot of success since branching out on my own solo career. I've amassed wealth and fame people only dream of. But these are the simple desires of men. I remember my roots and the little people and the craft that gave me my start. Stephen Huell, you are my Michelle Williams and my Kelly Rowland. You are my Destiny's Childs. Let's do this.
Aww.
Oh, well, such...
Wow.
Wow, such powerful words.
Yeah, I mean, it's not video game related, so I'm, you know, I really wish you would keep it on topic, but I'm just glad to have you back.
Well, I'm ambivalent.
Today we're joined by a special guest. He's a co-host of the popular AfterPod podcast and a member of the Three Timers Club now. It's Pascal's Pager, Paul Christian Glenn.
Yes, me lord.
That is stunningly accurate.
That is. That's a good one.
Yeah, he's been workshopping that. Taking it to San Diego. To San Jose. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. I need to buy that copy of Cool Spot that I've had my eyes on. Wipeout! Today's game is the Warcraft series, all of it, from 1994 to 2004. The Warcraft series is a massively popular set of real-time strategy games made by Blizzard because they desire all of our money. The first game, Orcs and Humans, came out in 1994 and was followed in 1995 by Tides of Darkness and in 2002 by Warcraft III, Reign of Chaos. Each successive game was more popular than the last, culminating with World of Warcraft in 2004, which is still getting expansion pack releases to this day. That is more of an action RPG, massively multiplayer online role-playing game, I believe is the old acronym.
I think we need more adjectives in that.
I think that's where they do all the cyber sexing, right?
Yeah, yes. You're like, oh, I'm a night elf, and you're an orc. I want you to plow my fields.
A lot of code.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm a dark elf, but you're a night elf. this was a bit of a group pick because the Warcraft movie it came out this past weekend. Well. You're listening to this on Monday. We're recording on Thursday, so I'm sure the Warcraft movie has made $1 billion by now.
Yeah, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I bet.
definitely. Paul, you're our guest this week, so why don't you start off the discussion for us here?
Oh, that's not a question or anything, is it? It's just a.
Let's go. Wind him up. Let him run
free yes. form.
I spent a lot of time with the first two Warcraft games and then missed a little bit because I got married and, you know, did a bunch of stupid grown-up stuff. And then when I got bored with all that, then I went back back to it and started the World of Warcraft. So I had number one and number two, and then I kind of missed number three, and then jumped back in during the second expansion of World of Warcraft. And when I caught wind by Carrier Pigeon that you guys were going to be talking about this game, I just had to get involved because, boy, so many late nights I recall sitting in a darkened room with everyone in the house asleep and geeking out over World of Warcraft. Oh, well, Warcraft, really my game was Tides of Darkness. I played a little bit of the first one, but number two was my jam.
Warcraft 2.
Oh, yeah. That's where it's at.
I had buckets of hours in that game.
Yeah, same.
Buckets, huh?
Measured by the bucket. Yeah, that was a big, big middle school game for me. Me and my friend pals. My nerd friend pals.
Oh, this
Lots
is
of Warcraft 2.
Warcraft 2, The Tides of Darkness is
really
one of the ones where I started doing the multiplayer and battling my buddies in different houses.
Yeah, Blizzard was a pioneer of the easy to do online multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Where you don't have to like kind of land your way through or hack through to play online. Like they had like a system, they had the Battle.net, which I guess Battle.net sort of took over in StarCraft. Is that what they call it in Warcraft 2?
Yeah, they call it in Warcraft 2, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that started up the whole online multiplayer, either versus or co-op, all that fun stuff.
Well, if I remember correctly, Battle.net debuted with StarCraft, and then they retroactively put it in Warcraft 2. But there was
what also... When was StarCraft? 97?
Yeah, I think so.
No, wait, actually... Sorry to jump ahead here, but I have the Warcraft 2 manual with me. Mm-hmm. And on the back it says, coming in 1996, Diablo and StarCraft.
Nice. Oh,
so look forward to those coming up.
In true Blizzard fashion, though, while they were advertising that in 1996, StarCraft came out in March 1998. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, not very surprising.
No, but I will say Warcraft 2, I don't know about you guys, but I played it on this service called Heat.net.
Sounds familiar. What is it?
It was an online multiplayer matchmaking kind of service run by Sega. So, of course, you know it was quality. That was kind of the competitor to MPlayer and GameSpy, if you remember those services. Kind of, they were kind of like online matchmaking services before. Then Blizzard basically realized, hey, why are we having these third party companies run servers?
Hey, we got this domain. Somebody bought this domain called Battle.net. Let's just use it.
Yeah,
they've been in love with that name
that
ever since.
Perfect.
You said you used it for Warcraft 2?
Heat.net.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's. I used it primarily for Quake, just normal Quake and Quake Team Fortress.
Yeah, that's what I used it for. I used it for good old Quake.
Hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. They were always pushing Sega games there, but Sega's games at the time were really bad. Like obviously you weren't going to play Sonic online, but They wanted you to play like Blood, and like these other horrible games. Sin. And
play what?
Blood. Blood
just
is
oh Blood up, the straight up the shooter. Blood. The shooter game.
It's a first person shooter where the main thing was that you could stab zombies with a pitchfork in the game, and then you could kick their heads around. So.
Oh.
But the game itself was absolute trash.
Yeah. Oh, the best thing about Blood were the weapons. It had some original weapons in it.
Yeah. But, no, that's how I kind of first got exposed to Warcraft and Warcraft 2 was the fact that it was one of the games you could play on this service, of course, after you illegally downloaded it on the internet.
Well, that was my question. Did you have to get Warcraft and then play it, or if you just had this heat service, you could play any of these games.
No, no, you had to procure.
That seems advanced for 1996 or whatever.
No, no, you had to procure a copy of the game. And basically
acquire it through various means.
Yes, yes. Completely above board and legal means.
Absolutely.
And but then from there, I think it basically worked by simulating kind of a LAN connection, like through your internet. So it kind of faked that you were in the same room with the people, but you're actually playing over your internet connection, something like that. Because it would basically work with any game that had like LAN, like you could play Doom on it too.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Definitely, I'd not heard of that at all.
Well, here's the thing about Heat.net, like every other Sega property, it was Sega Soft, I guess. They spent way too much money on stuff. Like you could sign up for $10 and they had giveaways all the time. Like I easily made like my money back on that. Like I won like a graphic card, I got like Final Fantasy VII, I got a bunch of other games. Like
wow.
just from winning like Quake death matches and stuff like that. So it was cool.
You were a professional gamer.
He was a pioneer professional gamer.
Not really, because it was sad. You could finish like fifth in a Quake deathmatch and you'd still get like points that you could spend on games. Like I have no idea.
Professionally.
It's not no, like you could just show up. Like
right. As a pro gamer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. But yeah, it was not anything good.
Now,
yeah, go, Paul.
Sorry, I was just. Can I insert a little nope. Arcane history for people who may not be aware, or maybe anybody who's a little bit younger? But it sounds to me like you guys had a little rich blood going on there, because we were still paying $2.95 an hour for internet service. And I was playing Warcraft 2.
You're correct. When around the time I was doing my Warcraft 2 multiplayer, we were one of the first people in our city to have cable internet.
Oh, there
not
you
not
go.
Because we were rich, just because we were in the right location.
So oh. I think
no, I played over a modem. Do not worry.
I think that it was right around the time, and my dates may be fuzzy, but I think it was right around the time that Warcraft 2 came out that AOL went unlimited, and we were still AOL customers at that time. And for a while after they went unlimited, I remember it was like $20 a month or $24 a month, and my parents were like, we're not paying that.
That's outrageous.
For internet service. Are you kidding me? We've got a stack of 50 free hours CDs just to the ceiling. But we were paying, so I wasn't really allowed to play online. Now, for those of you who are playing along at home, yes, I was a little old to be living with my parents when this happened, but I did live with my folks between the time that I left college and the time that I got married. So that's where I was at during this period, and I don't think I ever played this game online multiplayer, but we had like four computers, and so my brother and I would get together with friends and we would sync them up with AppleTalk.
Land parties.
Yeah.
Land parties at Paul's.
Yep. So I don't have that experience of playing online multiplayer with this game, which I know a lot of people do.
Important ask, Paul. Were you living in your parents' basement?
My parents were living in my parents' basement.
What?
It was my...
Hang on.
My parent...
Hold on. My let me,
did you kick them were, out?
Yeah, I kicked them out and I took over the top floor.
Let me get
set
a
up
pen
Warcraft
and,
computers.
Yeah, let me get a pen and paper. I'm diagramming this.
Okay, so for those who don't know, my parents were pastors, and they lived in a parsonage, which was actually the lower floor of the church. So we had this giant old church above ground, and then below ground, the entire basement level was converted into a home. And that's
where all the rituals took place.
Yeah, the sacrifices and whatnot had to go on, of course, at the altar. But we would get all the preparations and everything ready downstairs.
Makes sense.
But that's why we had so many computers too, because I we had I was playing all these on church computers, so it was many nights at 2 o'clock in the morning in the church office with the door locked, because this was this sort of stuff would never be tolerated. By
at least that's all that was happening.
Well, it is where the computers were.
I mean, in a church.
I don't know why you would say Warcraft 2 wouldn't be tolerated by the church. It has a very church-friendly plot and action.
The Holy War, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you sure that
this is about the good race of white men, the paladins, the Templars, taking out the disgusting horde who have been infiltrated. They've been spoiled. They've been desanctified by the demons.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way the support wouldn't. I mean, the church wouldn't support a game with spells like Death Coil, Unholy Armor, and Raise Dead.
Right. My parents were cautious about Carmen Sandiego, so it was iffy business. Anything that had to do with the computer was definitely potentially evil.
They didn't want you learning about geography of other countries?
Certainly not.
Oh, no.
That might lead to expanded worldviews and God, who knows what else.
Stay away from that Africa.
This is the first country to recognize gay marriage.
Banned.
By the way, are there black people in Warcraft?
Oh, boy.
Ooh, boy. Whew. We're going there.
Just dropping that right on.
Starting right off.
There are green people.
Yeah. I don't think there's any. Black people in Warcraft.
I think the ogres are.
Oh well, that
sort of tan.
That's uncalled for.
They're sort of tan. As far as I remember. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get this to run. I still have the CD, and I tried. I even tried through DOSBox, and even those instructions led to it not working correctly. Like, it started to try the setup, and then it just crashed. So, I made an effort. This is one of the few games we covered that I actually own.
Luckily,
I have the manuals, so we're okay there.
I have some Battle Chest version that I bought a couple years ago, so I think that's why it still worked, because I think it was, like, reconfigured for XP or Vista.
Yes, in the Battle Chest version, they recompiled for Windows 95 installers.
Yeah, there's a battle.net one too.
Yeah, I will say for this, I did not play the original. I played a little bit of the second and a little bit of the third, which I actually like the third game the best.
Oh, it's a solid game.
Yeah, it would technically be the best game, but the most time and memories are in Warcraft 2.
Oh, for sure, for me too. Yeah, and for sure. And when I first picked up Warcraft, it was when Warcraft 2 came out, and so I missed out on the Warcraft 1 bandwagon. But when I played it later, after playing 2, I just couldn't get into it because it didn't feel the same. You have to build roads to build things, and that just it didn't make sense to me.
Warcraft 1
is terrible. I'll just say that right now.
what if there were no RTSs and then Warcraft 1 came out?
Of course it's great.
Dude, your mind would be blown all over your baby blanket, okay?
You're like, look at this. I get brown background, brown characters, gray buildings, brown roads. This is amazing.
Now, I was surprised to find out. I'm sure someone here has done some trivia hunting, but I was surprised to read that the storyline for Warcraft 1 was completely improvised on the spot when they were producing it, which is crazy because the Warcraft world, the lore is such a huge part of it.
But, well, Warcraft 1, there's not much story to it, is there? It's just, these green
guys.
It's
all in the manual. I'm looking at the manual right now.
Oh, you 65 pages.
Sorry, did they have anything about them coming from a portal or being possessed in Warcraft 1. I thought it's just you're humans and there's orcs and they're the thing.
Start right off the top. Chronicles of the War in Azeroth.
Is this the Warcraft 1 manual?
Warcraft 1 manual, a treatise of the events leading to the war between mankind and the Orcish hordes, as related by Sir Lothar, Knight of the Realm. And there are 6 pages of this here.
I am
Sir Lothar. Sorry, I won't. But there's a lot of friggin' story here.
Is he really named Sir Lothar, like the Mike Myers character from Saturday
Night Live?
Of the Hill
People. Lothar of the Hill People. Oh, armsman to the Brotherhood of the Horse and a warrior in the King's service. Yeah, I don't know if there's any portals. I don't know if there's any portals here that might have popped up in 2. But a lot of fantasy bullshit. A lot of swords and spells.
Well, I think that it was after the sort of the runaway success of the first one that they buckled down and were like, oh, okay, we should probably come up with something.
Spend a little time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if Wikipedia is to be believed, the first storyline was improvised on the spot by one of the game producers.
There's actually 4 more pages later about the orc side of things.
He was a loquacious fellow. Nobody really liked him in the office.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah,
just, a little too much D&D for him.
Just shut the door and write your stories.
If you ever needed a dungeon master, though.
Now, I actually never played the third one. I was a little surprised because I remember when it came out, or I remember it coming out, but when I went back to revisit today, it's such a different game than number 2, and as soon as I saw the gameplay, I wasn't able to play it, actually, because Blizzard has not seen fit to bless Mac users with a usable installer for number 3 for some reason.
That's weird.
Which is really weird.
Yeah, because normally they normally release their games on everything, like on Mac and PC.
Blizzard. Yeah. I think, actually, though, the tide is turning with that, and it kind of – every time, like Blizzard especially, it was a big deal when Bungie sort of turned their back on Mac. But Blizzard especially, because they have long supported Mac. But I believe, I might be wrong about this, but I believe Hearthstone is it Overwatch?
Overwatch, the new one? The new joint?
Yeah.
The hot new joint?
Yeah, yes, I believe Overwatch. It does not run on the Mac.
No.
So
well,
it's,
yeah,
that's
for that
weird.
One, they concentrated on consoles, it looks like.
Yeah.
NPC only.
Yeah, which is weird. I mean, because they've always been, I mean, they've long been a supporter for Mac platforms. But anyway, for whatever reason, they did not update the installer for that, for number 3 on the Mac. And so I wasn't able to play it. But I went to YouTube to look at some playthroughs. And as soon as I saw it, I was just like, oh, wow, I never played this game. such a leap forward from number 2.
Yeah. It is, but when you look back at it now, like in modern times with these modern games, it does look very dated.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny though? I played a few hours of number 2, which I haven't played in, you know, 20 years or something like that. I played a few hours of number 2 and then I clicked over to YouTube to look at the playthrough for number 3 and I was like, "Oh my god, it's amazing. It looks
oh, yeah.
so great."
Compared to
it was what, 6 years after the fact, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or 8.
Yeah.
Warcraft 3 suffers from Final Fantasy VII syndrome, where at the time, the graphics were amazing, mind-blowing, blown to minds. But now, you know, now we've moved on. Now we have hyper-realism. We have avatars. We have cyber-sex with. So everything is... Everything has increased exponentially in the graphics department.
Oh, Warcraft 3? Definitely.
I think he's talking about the other thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not quite Final Fantasy VII levels, but it's not quite up to today's standards either.
No, everything looks kind of small and blocky in a way.
Yeah. But that being said, fellas, Warcraft 3 is the best of the Warcraft series. I mean, yes. excluding World of Warcraft, obviously.
No, I would include that.
Nah. Well, I think to piggyback on Paul's point, the big jump from, besides the presentation from 2 to 3, is the fact 3 has some RPG elements where you
can, yes, it has hero classes.
Yeah, you control a hero who basically levels up as you advance in stages. They get unique spells, they can use equipment, that kind of thing. And that also led to the fact that 3 has so many mods. Like, you can, like, there are mods that let you, like, play, oh, Warcraft 3 turns into Lord of the Rings, and you can play through, like, Lord of the Rings using the Warcraft engine. And just like, a whole bunch of, like, neat stuff like that that really expands the gameplay.
And and those expansions created two of the hottest crazes that the teens are into nowadays. Mm-hmm. Created, first of all, tower defense games. Somebody's mod.
Yeah.
And also it created Dota.
Dota?
Dota.
Dota.
What's Dota?
Dota. Dota is the hottest
Dota
new...
Dota 2.
Dota, a.k.a. MOBAs. What does MOBA stand for? I forgot.
It's the hot new indie genre on the scene.
Anyway, the Dota, it's where you play as a single hero unit battling a group of other hero units. Another team. It's team v team, and
it's online.
You have creepers going across the map, and you have to stop the other team's creepers.
MOBAs,
and that's an entire genre now.
MOBAs are multiplayer online battle arena.
Yes.
Huh.
And the Dota 2 Invitational that's going on this year has a grand prize of like $5 million for the winning team, something like that. It's crazy.
Dota.
I must admit that I've never played a Dota.
They're fun but frustrating.
I 100% refuse. Just putting it out there.
I mean, it seems on paper, I'm like, oh, this seems frustrating. I don't like having to.
No, it's a game of balance. That's the issue. It's the thing that I like about it is you're playing as one guy, leveling up one guy over the span of a game. But the people that play it are just nutty. Like, if you screw up a single thing in an online game, they start screaming at you over the telephone.
Yeah.
Cursing you out.
I can't take that kind of pressure.
Yeah. I like more casual.
It's anti-fun.
Casual gaming.
Mm. No, I'm with you there. And I don't think I've ever played an MMORPG.
Oh.
What?
You deserve
a
medal. You deserve praise. You deserve...
No, here you go. You have no right to judge what is the best Warcraft game ever. So now let's take a vote. Let's get our calculators out. Let's take a vote. What is the best Warcraft game?
What is the most best?
Yes.
Warcraft. What is the best Warcraft game?
I vote 1.
Okay.
That's just stirring the pot. I don't think there's any question that World of Warcraft is the best Warcraft.
Oh yeah, game. For sure. Oh yeah.
I mean, it's not even a reasonable question to ask.
Yeah, you know, my favorite games are the ones I have to continually pay for. Those are my favorite games. Yeah. Where I can buy it, but that I can just keep buying it. I love that. Those are the best games.
You're buying the content and the service.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'll just keep buying the game. Like, I loved Ocarina of Time, so every month I just bought a new copy. Just to show my appreciation.
Well, Nintendo needs your money.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. They had to sell the Mariners, Huel. The Mariners. They're never going to get the Mariners back.
No. And why would they?
I played World of Warcraft as much as I played Warcraft 2. I played World of Warcraft probably 100 times more than I mean, I don't even know how many thousands of hours I put into that game.
That's my issue with it.
Why? It's fun and enjoyable.
Thousands of hours. I don't like playing one game for 4 years.
It's like eating a pizza that never stops. You keep going, there's always another piece.
Excuse me, Mr. Pascal's pager. On one message board that many of us frequent, didn't you like curb stomp Fallout 4 because you're like, I don't want to have to work for a game. I just want to play it. Why do I have to invest so much time in it?
Did I recall that happening? You do recall it correctly. However, with with World of Warcraft, listen.
Go on.
With World of Warcraft, I took a, I don't know, maybe 5 year hiatus. And my son, who still plays, we've got like three accounts or something because all of our kids continue to play. And my son was begging me, Dad, you got to play with me. You got to play with me. So I logged in after a 5 year hiatus, created a brand new character, and within like 6 minutes, I was kicking butt and taking names. And it was great. And it was so much fun. That's the style of gaming I like. I don't want to have to put, you're right. I did blast Fallout 4 a little bit, but it's because I'm not even joking. I spent like an hour and a half waiting for that game to start. And I was still
you're invested in the story.
Shuffling around the outside.
Where's my child?
Yeah.
My wife.
Oh no, I can't skip past the part where they're setting up the drama of being frozen in ice for 200 years.
My robot friend, he missed me.
I know. Pascal's pager. I bet you skipped to the end of Encino Man too.
Probably skipped to the end of Usual Suspects just to see what happens.
What? No, I don't. So in my defense, in that thread, I did say I'm not saying that that's a bad sort of gaming experience. It's just not for me. I just don't have that amount of I don't have that much time to invest.
Game of the year 2015 and 2016 or whatever it is not for me.
Nope.
Game yeah, of right. the year, the universally exactly. acclaimed game.
Well, it might have been second place to Witcher.
As we've discussed offline, I've only put 2 hours into Witcher so far. I think it is around there too.
It is the YPB game of the year, but I think for most publications and blogosphere websites, Witcher 3 came out slightly ahead.
Slightly ahead. I want friend of the show, Paul. Have you tried Witcher 3 yet?
I'm sure he would hate it.
I haven't. I do have it on my list, but I will say this: game of the year. Geez, maybe it was 2015, maybe 2014, because you guys haven't mentioned it. But I do know that Shadow of Mordor was game of the year somewhat recently, and I love that game. And there's a ton to explore in that game. But again, that's a game I can jump in. I can start playing. I know what's going on. Like within 10 minutes, I understand the game, even though I don't necessarily exploit everything that it has to offer. I can take my time and work through it and enjoy it. There's no like waiting, like, oh, you have to invest like 4 hours before you can do anything fun. I'm not against big, wide open games. It's just, let's get to the good stuff. I got shit to do.
Yeah, if there is a downside to Fallout, I would agree with that. Sure.
Well, it's more of a slow burn. Like you gotta work your way into it. Like,
it's more for a more sophisticated mind.
Now you're talking about jumping in into Warcraft and getting things going right away. But I was a vanilla WoW player. I played vanilla. I put my hours into vanilla, and that game, you have to deal with guilds. You have to wait around for hours waiting for people to show up for a raid. It took a while to get going in vanilla.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, talking about 2006, the year... Is it 2004?
Vanilla?
The year 2004, when a little joint, indie joint called World of Warcraft came out.
So vanilla is what, like the first version without any...
Vanilla is what you call everything up to Nefarian boss being added to the game.
Okay.
Before the Burning Crusade expansion.
I was just saying, I was just asking for our listeners.
Yes. Sorry, listeners, if you're not hip to the lingo that we
That's
use.
All. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I put tons and tons of hours into that, but a lot of that was spent waiting for people to show up for raids. But
yeah, that's I will the say, thing. Yeah, that does not appeal to me.
I will say, fellas, mm-hmm. That was a good time. That was a good time. had fun doing that. Now that I'm an old man and I have children that have risen from my loin.
wow.
You put those,
The modern day Warcraft it appeals to me. The modern day World of Warcraft appeals to me greatly because you no longer have to sit in a raid, a guild chat for an hour waiting for people to show up. All you do is hit a button, say, throw me into a raid, send me into a dungeon. And then it automatically assigns you a group and you zap right into the dungeons and you kill the baddies.
Now, let me ask you this. So, I don't mean to exclude those who were not old school World of Warcrafters, but do you find any sense of – one of the things that I noticed when I was playing this last year with my kids was that I really, really missed the sense of sort of earning shit in that game. Like it feels like everything now is sort of handed to you. Like when they give you a quest or they give you a quest, they tell you exactly where to go, exactly what you have to do. And there's even like sometimes they'll provide you with a ride to get there, you know, or whatever. If you want to do a raid or you want to get into an arena or whatever, it's just like, boom, hit the thing and you're gone.
That's
and
why they call Warcraft, World of Warcraft, casual friendly.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I kind of – maybe I'm just being like old man here, but like I feel like there's something lost there. Like you shouldn't be able to level up to 20 in a night of gaming.
Yeah, there's something – when the Burning Crusade came out, that is when it started to appeal to a wide mass of people, and they had to – they had to get old granny to play too, and she doesn't want to walk across the barrens to turn in a single quest. She wants to automatically fly on a griffin there. So
right.
I
don't know. Feels like something's lost.
Now, as I said, I did not play World of Warcraft. I have seen other people play it. It seems like a game I might like, but I also.
Steve. Hey, how about this? You got a free. They give you a free month trial or whatever nowadays.
I cannot do that. I still have to play DLC in Fallout 4. I still have Batman, Arkham City to beat.
Oh boy!
I mean, that's almost a decade old at this point. I got a lot of stuff, to get to. But I did read up on the Corrupted Blood incident, and. That seemed like a lot of fun, where basically characters were passing in a disease to one another in World of Warcraft based on a bug in the game. And from Wikipedia, this line I especially liked. The major towns and cities were abandoned by the population as panic set in and players rushed to evacuate to the relative safety of the countryside, leaving urban areas filled to the brim with corpses and the city streets literally white with the bones of the dead.
Yes, that was a famous incident during my time in the game. I didn't see it myself. I just heard about it. But there's some boss that puts a debuff on you that, you know, slowly kills you by poisoning you. But if you're strong enough, you have enough gear, you have enough stats, you got the stamina, you can travel back to the city holding the debuff on you, and it's a debuff that's contagious. So other people then catch it, and then they die.
And the other issue is apparently NPCs, like summonable pets, they could catch the disease and they would not die because of, I guess, flags on them, like presets. So they would also spread the disease, though, when throughout entire cities. So it was kind of like the Black Plague.
Yeah, I remember that very clearly. And it was – we called them zombies, the NPCs, because – they were carriers, but they weren't. They they wouldn't die. Now, the thing that was so weird about that was that it seemed to be. There was a real sense that nobody could control it, right? So it was obviously Blizzard eventually figured it out, and they put out a patch to fix it up. But there was a sense that that Blizzard didn't understand what was going on necessarily, and the whole real world aspect of the universe or whatever it is, just like the immersiveness, it got like super creepy. It was really weird. It was like, dude, nobody has control of this thing.
Yeah. Apparently, it's now studied by some people who look at terrorism and disease contagion to kind of simulate how humans act in that sort of situation. Obviously, this is just a game, but there's still kind of, you could see like some people just like to cause pandemonium and intentionally introduce it to the population, while others set up quarantine zones and all this other kind of stuff. So. Kind of interesting, but I don't know. I've seen World of Warcraft played, and it seems like something I'd like. But I also realize, oh, there's a chance I could get way too into this, and so I've always just stayed away from it.
It's probably smart.
Yeah, I have the same relationship with heroin. So
my cousin, I remember when I was really getting into the game, I was trying to talk my cousin into playing because he's kind of a nerd and into that sort of thing. And he joined and he played for a couple of months. And I had been playing for like, I don't know, 6 or 8 months or something. And within a month or two, he had outpaced me in terms of character level. And then one day I logged in and he was just gone. So I called him up and he said, yeah, this game is not good for my marriage. I need to make it stop.
Oh, yikes. No, I can.
Oh. Yeah. It's a definite time sink.
This is what you're calling the best of the series.
Yes.
A game that ruins lives.
Here's the thing for me.
What other metric is there?
This game, it came out when I was in college, so I had nothing but time. Skipping class and playing this game. That was my deal.
Now, I will say my addiction to this sort of thing went back a little earlier because I was a huge EverQuest person. Evercrack, that was the thing, and I had the I had that thing with EverQuest where I was calling into work and skipping school and doing all of that stuff to play that game, and that was a bad scene. But by the time World of Warcraft came around, it was like EverQuest, only way better. But unfortunately, I had matured a little bit, and I was able to sort of control what I was doing.
Unfortunately, yeah, I had matured.
I just like games that end, so I can play another one.
I'm kind of.
But what if the game you're playing is so good? What if the game you're playing is so good? What if you had another quest in Fallout? Would you just give up? Would you end it, or would you play that quest?
Well, to me,
I'd probably eventually get bored.
Yeah, I think I'm in Huel's camp here, where I like games that kind of have like a main storyline kind of campaign that you can, that yes, that's the main point of the game. Like Skyrim kind of has that too. And then if you wanna poke around the Warriors Guild, you can do that. Whereas I don't know the MMORPGs, it just seems like it's endless fetch quests.
You know, there's that part of that is true, yes, and there's a lot of time sink there and a lot of grinding. Although I think they've tried to alleviate that in recent years, but there is. I mean, you can follow the lore, and if you do all the quests, you do get to sort of end game content with each expansion. So if you're a person who's into that kind of thing, now I was never that way. I never really cared much about the lore, and I didn't follow the storylines or do the quests that way. But
I don't think Blizzard followed the lore.
my brother was like that, and they would do they would play through. Him and his wife would play through all of the quests that sort of followed the lore and get to the end game stuff like within a few weeks of each expansion being released, and then they were done. Until the next expansion came out.
Oh, well, they're in luck.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess I think of it a lot like Dungeons and Dragons, which I played when I was younger and just recently sort of got back into. But I recently was talking to a friend who...
That's a good analogy there. Yeah.
Well, people don't play Dungeons and Dragons for 12 hours a day, 3 months.
Straight. Yeah, no.
Pretty sure. And they actually have to see people in real life. Or you have to, like, you know, look at people in real life and talk to them.
But
things,
that's the
things
thing.
Of that nature.
I had a friend recently ask me, like, so when is it over? How do you win? And I was like, well, you don't win. I mean, there's no, you don't win Dungeons and Dragons. You just, the way you win is you don't die. And if you die, you make a new character and you keep going. Because
yeah, but
no,
there's a level of creativity. There's a level of involvement. You're not just clicking and typing.
That's true. I will say this. I was super disappointed when World of Warcraft first came out. And I logged on, and of course I immediately logged on to one of the role-playing servers and was super frustrated and angry to find out that nobody anywhere in World of Warcraft cares anything about role-playing at
no
all.
No one was doing ever. That, yeah.
No.
No. Well, World of Warcraft is...
The only benefit of playing... The benefit of playing on the role-playing servers is that the average age of the players on those servers was a little bit higher, so it was... You know, less ass hattery going on those servers.
Their neck beards were fully groomed.
Yes, the neck beard, the plumage was full.
Yes, it was displayed for all.
Yeah. Well, this World of Warcraft is also more of an action RPG, right?
Kinda. Yeah.
Well, it's like clicking and stats, but it's not like Baldur's Gate or like something like a deep, deep story-driven, turn-based, kind of like, oh, I have to check my stats constantly kind of RPG, is it?
Oh, you do check your stats constantly, yeah. Yeah, it can be.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of player you are.
You have to pick the right gear, you have to equip correctly, yeah.
Well, if you're max minning, is that the phrase?
Yep, you do max minning, yep.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, if you're serious about that, you can do that, but I don't know. I feel like the combat is more like Diablo, isn't it?
Where
you're clicking.
Yeah, I'd say more like Diablo, yeah.
You're clicking on stuff.
It's hard to describe. It's like between an RPG and like Arkham City, your Arkham City as you described. It's like halfway between an RPG and Arkham City.
Yeah, so an action RPG.
Yes,
there's an intricate reversal system.
oh yeah. So here's the thing, man. There's a lot of strategy. You got counters you can do. You can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, since we're talking about it, World of Warcraft, the next expansion is Legion, which is due out in August, which is somewhat amazing to me that they are still pumping out the expansion packs for that. But the game, it does have more than 100 million accounts created for it with a peak amount of 12 million subscribers at one time.
Well, I am not surprised at that because, you know, I still feel the urge every day to reinstall and keep playing. but here's
every
the thing.
Day,
like,
you wake up in a cold
oh,
sweat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But here's the thing.
Sounds like
even
a great game.
EverQuest is on its like 27th expansion right now, and Ultima Online is having expansions coming out. So
what?
As long as these games have a player base, they keep. And this is why you pay subscription, is you're paying for more content.
Ultima Online is still around?
No. You're paying a subscription to play it. Period. You still have to buy the expansions for more content.
Depends on how long you
you're
wait.
Paying
though.
Twice.
People who don't want to pay for the expansion, by the time the next expansion comes out, Blizzard will have given you that expansion. They've never
failed
to do
that. Yeah, but then you're already behind everyone else.
Yeah, but what does behind mean in an open world like that where there's no – I mean you can do whatever you want. There's no way you're going to explore the entire available content between now and the time that they release the next RPG. The only people who do that are people who go for – they're like obsessed with level caps. So like my brother was like that, and then the expansion would come out and they'd be like, okay, the new level cap is 80. And then they'd spend 2 weeks doing nothing but playing WoW and cap up to 80 and then they'd be done. But if you're interested in – like for me, I just enjoyed the world. I enjoyed exploring, you know, and finding new things and all the little stupid quests or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And there's
– There's no way.
One of my favorite things about Warcraft Blizzard games in general are all the little Easter eggs. Everything's a pop culture reference in there.
Yeah.
Sounds dumb. I'll never understand.
Sounds pretty dumb. Now, although the World of Warcraft series has thrived, unfortunately, though, the Warcraft real-time strategy series has been kind of abandoned by Blizzard. From 2009 to 2015, Blizzard officials have said that they would consider returning to it once they finished StarCraft II, which concluded with Legacy of the Void in November of 2015. However, there hasn't been any concrete news from Blizzard on a Warcraft IV, which is probably behind only Half-Life 3 when it comes to long-rumored PC gaming sequels.
Well, here's the problem with creating a Warcraft 4 is that you have a new expansion for World of Warcraft coming in, which further brings the story along. If you create another Warcraft game, how are you going to supersede the story that's ongoing inside that game?
I don't know. Just set it on
You put pandas in it. Oh wait, they already did that.
Just they did that in Warcraft 3.
Just set it on like another planet or something.
They already did that, man. Okay. It's all the aliens, man, the Outland and the the Draenors and all that.
Another planet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just
the Outland. The first expansion went to space.
Yeah, just do that again. Said it.
Although, I mean, if you really wanted to do it, you could write a story or create some lore that lives alongside the main storyline without contradicting or intersecting with it. I mean, you could do that.
Yeah, it's this other race, the Borks, that are fighting the people friends.
But you know what? I mean, honestly, think about it. If you were Blizzard, so the complaint earlier was like, what I really want to do is keep paying for a game. Well, at last count, if I'm remembering correctly, what I read at last count, October 2015, they had 5.5 million paying customers. That's $15 a month. You're looking at literally like $1 billion a year on this game that they are making still. And this has fallen from at least twice that much. So what is your incentive? I mean, what is your incentive to go back and create a game that everybody's going to buy once and be done with?
Mm-hmm.
I think they would also be,
if they did make that, they would be competing with themselves because they do have StarCraft II going on right now. And that is, you know, the hot competitive game on the scene at the moment.
Real-time strategy game. But I feel like StarCraft II and Warcraft, While there's clearly going to be overlap, I feel like there's room for both. Like they have completely different settings and kind of feels. Like StarCraft is a ripoff of Aliens, whereas World of Warcraft is a ripoff of D&D. So
no, it's a ripoff of Warhammer.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
Warcraft is a ripoff of Warhammer, and StarCraft is a ripoff of Warhammer 40K. We've been over this.
Yes. And also, guys, we completely glossed over the other Blizzard joint that's hot on the scene right now, which is Heroes of the Storm, which is their version of a Dota MOBA.
I thought Dota was Blizzard's version of a Dota.
No, Dota was some individual modder's game he made.
Right, but then Dota 2 was not Blizzard.
Dota 2 is made by Valve, the people that made the old Half-Life game.
Oh.
And Heroes of the Storm is Blizzard's version of it, where they have people from Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo, and Overwatch all in one game, battling for supremacy.
Hmm. See, I can't keep track of like the side games from Blizzard. Like, what's Hearthstone? Is that a Warcraft game?
It is their collectible card game.
That's a phone game, though, right?
It's on everything. It's on computer.
Oh, is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean,
I played it on computer back when it was in alpha phase. That's where I played it, on the computer. Mm.
Listen, when are we going to get a gritty reboot of the Lost Vikings? How about that?
Oh, you can play as the Lost Vikings inside Heroes of the Storm.
Mm. Oh, that's kind of cool then.
I have a question for you guys. We sort of jumped forward to World of Warcraft, but did anybody follow the little rabbit trail regarding Warcraft Adventures, Lord of the Clans?
Oh, yeah, I followed that closely as it was in development.
I had never heard of it.
Because I love adventure games.
I didn't even know it was a thing, but I watched like an hour of it on YouTube of the unreleased game and was sort of dumbfounded. It looked awful.
I mean, one thing I will say that is a positive for Blizzard is that they don't mind working for years on games, and if they don't think it's good, they will just cancel it, like they did that.
Yeah, with... That is another reason why I'm a huge Blizzard fanboy, is they have great quality control there. Yeah. They're not afraid to cancel a game or postpone a release.
Yeah, they did it with StarCraft Ghost, which is also a famous bit of vaporware. So,
and they also did it with their Project Titan, which is a huge bit of vaporware.
I remember that. That was just recent, wasn't it? Like last year or the year before?
Yep. And it's what it's what kind of became Overwatch. It was their like a shooter massively multiplayer game, and they said it just wasn't up to snuff and they canceled it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The weird thing about the Warcraft Adventures Lord of the Clans was that it was completely, or at least from what I saw, it was like completely animated, like cell animation type gameplay. Like it looked like Dragon Slayer and it looked like an 80s Saturday morning cartoon. There's like a 2.5 hour playthrough on YouTube that you can watch, but it's got voices by Clancy Brown on there, which is kind of cool to see. But the whole thing, I don't know, it's just really, really does not fit the vibe, I don't think, of the rest of the franchise.
Well,
so let that sink.
But it did kind of lead to a World of Warcraft in that regard, like an individual story versus a team story, real time strategy story. It's you're playing as one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the world of Warcraft.
The world. Okay, so can we mention the famous South Park episode where they play World of Warcraft? I actually watched that with my kids, and to this day there's a line in that show where one of the Blizzard developers says, "Gentlemen, it could mean the end of the world of Warcraft." And my kids still say that to this day. Yeah. It cracks me up.
Make love, not Warcraft. Is the name of the Warcraft episode. That is a good sode. And of course it has followed it, this is right in the golden era of South Park, because it was followed by The Mystery of the Urinal Deuce. Another classic with the Hardley Boys. So
I don't remember that one. I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah, Mystery of
really
the
good one.
Mystery of the Urinal Deuce is about 9/11 conspiracies.
Oh wait, yes, I'm sorry. I did see that one. I did. I'm sorry. You cut out a little bit. I didn't quite hear the Urinal Deuce part. And yeah, I definitely remember that.
Yeah, I'm getting a clue right now. but anyways, So Huel, did you have any other thoughts on the old Warcrafts here?
Nope. Best one is number one.
Brisket, how about you? What are your thoughts on Warcraft?
No. Good game by good company. I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm. Paul, your final thoughts here on the old Warcraftings?
Well, I'm looking at my notes. I have two things that I did not bring up. Number one is that I had completely forgotten how sort of silly the orcs seemed in these old games. Now everything is so serious, but in these old games they're like, "We are going over to the enemy." They all sound like Yoda or Grover, which is really weird.
Yeah,
very heavy Yoda.
Oh, on, you know how you can click on these guys multiple times and they start saying funny things. One of them, one thing they say is, "Sound like Yoda, I do not."
Oh, oh, now see, I've never played an orc campaign ever in any incarnation of any Warcraft game ever.
Not how in do you World know what Warcraft they sound like?
Any of these.
Why are you racist?
Because I watched the playthrough on number three.
Oh. No. Two is the classics. The classic sounds. And there is a very good 6-minute every sound effect in Warcraft YouTube video.
Oh, nice.
And it is great. I watched it or listened to it to review for this sode. And it's about all I needed.
Oh, I did that for StarCraft. They have one for StarCraft, too.
Yeah, the Warcraft 2. Yeah, Warcraft 2 one. Highly recommended. Mm-hmm.
The only other note that I have is that in 1997... I can date this to the month if I had to, but I remember when my love affair with Warcraft ended, and that was when Bungie released a little game called Myth, The Fallen Lords, and it was like Warcraft without the stupid stuff. So like the part where you have to chop down wood and build shit. They got rid of all that, and they said it was essentially the first – I did a little reading on it. They called it the first real-time tactics game.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It was all in like super surround 3D. Like you could swoop around everything and see it all, you know, 360 view and zoom in and zoom out. And it was I was so obsessed with that game, and it also featured a big component of online playing. And when that game came out, that's when – we had switched over to full-blown unlimited internet service, and that's when I started playing online multiplayer. And that was the death knell for me until World of Warcraft showed up a good decade later.
Yeah, I'm looking up Myth. I actually haven't played it, but looking at it real quick, apparently – they still have an active online community that continues to upgrade the game and provide servers and that kind of stuff.
They do. You know what's really interesting about that, and I won't go too far off topic, but what's really interesting about that is that Bungie actually gave that group – the group is called Project Magma. Bungie actually literally gave them their entire catalog or their entire archive of – code and lore and artwork and just literally everything when they got purchased by Microsoft. So they said, you want to keep it going, go for it. And they gave them everything. They've kept it going for the last, whatever, 10 years.
Wow. Nice. That's pretty good. Well, I think we're done talking about Warcraft for now. So on that note, let's segue right along to the emails. Todd, since you've been gone for a while, I'm sure your box is full. How many emails you got?
I got tons of them, but I just want to read kind of a weird one I got. Mm-hmm. It comes from somebody that goes by Mrs. Butterscoot. And she wrote this. It's sad when a mother has to speak the words that condemn her own son. I couldn't allow them to believe that I would commit murder. They'll put him away now, as I should have years ago. He was always bad, and in the end, he intended to tell them I killed those girls and that man. As if I could do anything except just sit and stare like one of his stuffed birds. Oh, they know I can't even move a finger, and I won't. I'll sit here and be quiet, just in case they do suspect me. They're probably watching me. Well, let them. Let them see what kind of person I am. I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see, and they'll know, and they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly. Kind regards, Mrs. Butterscoot. There's no question on here, but you know.
Oh,
Jesus!
Any mail is good mail.
Well, that might be your stance, but Jesus is right. I almost feel like we need Paul's parents to bless us after hearing that one.
Yes, please.
Was that the only ask or non-ask you received?
That's the only non-ask I got. Well, I mean, I got tons of mail saying, hey, where's Todd? I missed that sweet baby boy. But nothing, no video game asks.
You had to find yourself. You had to do some meditation, do some, you know, just clear your head, man. Get a ramble. So, anyways, Huel, did you get any emails?
I think the most concerning part is that I did not get any emails.
Oh,
so
no Scooty?
Hopefully things are okay.
God,
I can only imagine.
I just pray that he is not making a baby.
The mind wanders.
He could be busy with Cooter Slut.
The mind, you know, in its absence, can conjure up some dark things. So hopefully things are okay to all our email writers.
I don't want my paycheck going toward that kid. I hope she moves out of Rhode Island. Well, Paul, did you get any emails this week?
I did not get any emails this week. My presence on this show was not advertised, but I will tell you this. I'm going to sleep soundly tonight knowing that Brisket's box is full.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's satisfied.
We've all been worried.
Yeah, that keeps me titillated at night.
Yeah. Its status right now is satiated.
Wow.
Oh. Oh, well, on that note, I received two emails. The first one. I know.
Look at Mr. Popular over here with the two emails. Whoa.
Yeah, you can send your emails to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. Well, the first email, what do you think of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and what is your favorite food in video games? From Neuter Mutt Shorty Blue.
Whoa.
Oh.
Wait, what?
From Neuter Mutt Shorty Blue.
What was their question?
Something about coffee?
What do you think of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and what is your favorite food in video games? So it's a two-parter.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
I think we've had the food ask before.
Two asks from this person.
They're really pushing their limit here.
Well, I guess...
Have we not had a food ask before? I believe we had. I remember talking about Kirby's Fiery Curry before.
Ooh, that
and the M tomato.
I was like Burger Time. I like all the ingredients in that game. It's fun to.
No, Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Oh, that's good stuff. That is the best coffee that I've ever had in the world. No matter what anybody from the New England area says. I've had coffee from a bean that was eaten by a wild jungle cat and shat out, and then also a bat flew by and then put some guano on top of it. And I've had that coffee, and it does not compare to just a cup of small Dunkin'. Small, give me a small Dunkin'.
Small lava hot cup of Dunkin'.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, I honestly don't think the bat guano coffee sounds good at all. Like, I feel like any coffee would be better than that.
When you put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, I have to say this. Can I just say this? And I'm not trying to start.
No, next here. Question. Huel, what do you think? Huel, what do you think of Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
Fantastic.
All right, go ahead, Paul.
We got Dunkin' Donuts in our area literally like a year and a half ago. And I have been hearing for the last 20 years amazing Dunkin' Donuts coffee is. And I got to tell you, I went through the drive-thru and I got a cup of coffee and I was disappointed is a conservative word to use because it was fine. But let's just say I have gone back to my regular gas station coffee since then.
What?
I'm gonna blame the Nebraskan water on that one.
Look, I'm fine if you're going to say it's not great, it's whatever. But you're just going to a gas station instead? Like, what?
Yeah, well, so
that's your trade-off.
To be fair, our gas stations here are really fancy. I don't know about where you guys live, but we've got really fancy gas station coffee.
It's no Wawa.
No, I don't know. We have a chain here called Scooters that I did.
What?
Ooh, Scooty.
Wait a minute. A long time ago. Opening up a lot of possibilities here. Hang on. Just write something down.
Okay. I need to move to Nebraska.
Okay. They are far and away my favorite. Locally roasted, locally everything is done right here, and you get it like within. They literally don't let any coffee sit for more than 2 days. Any ground bean or
2 days.
So yeah,
I think he's talking about the beans. Beans, not the coffee.
The beans.
Oh, look.
I was bummed out.
We're not going to let it.
Notice showed up. I was like so excited, like, oh my god, we finally got this amazing coffee that everybody's talking about, and it was fine. I don't hate it or anything, but there's no way I'm going out of my way to sit in the drive-thru and wait for that coffee.
You know what coffee is good? The one you drink.
Yeah, that's my stance. It all tastes the same. It's freaking coffee. It's all gross. I drink it, but it's still gross.
Yeah, it all tastes like poo-poo from a jungle cat.
At bet.
I feel like that might be the most controversial thing ever said on this show.
Yep.
Really?
Absolutely.
It's gross?
That is the most controversial.
You're going to get mail.
I drink it all the time.
Well,
it all
but it's gross.
Yeah. There's nothing good about it.
That's how I feel about
pizza. Warcraft.
Yeah.
Well, there's one other email. Hey, guys, what is Qbert? If anyone knows, I figure it's going to be the YPB boys. I like to imagine he's a developmentally challenged snork, born with a tubular protrusion on his face instead of the top of his head. Terrified and superstitious, the snorks cut off his arms and cast him out of society. But that's just sheer conjecture. Sincerely, Pascal's Pager.
Hmm.
What? That's a good ask. Good ask, Paul.
I can't weigh in on this one. I'm genuinely curious.
I think Qbert is Birdo's deformed child.
No, it would be the other way around, because Qbert is way older than Birdo.
Oh, but Birdo has arms.
But Birdo is the next step in evolution of Qbert.
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, look, I can't think anymore, man. I'm burnt out.
Birdo is clearly a bird, whereas Qbert seems to be something else entirely.
Clearly a Q.
Birdo is clearly a bird. Clearly.
Yeah.
Hey, was it you guys that brought to my attention, forgive me if I'm confusing this, it recently brought to my attention that Qbert was the first like transgendered video game character. Was that on YPP that I heard that?
You're talking about Birdo. Birdo is the one.
Yeah, Birdo. Did I say
you said Qbert?
I meant Birdo.
Yes, we did. We did talk about that on the show. Yes. And
okay,
I'm
just going to tell you that rocked my world. Like, I spent days sort of mulling that over. And
let this be a lesson to you. It's why
it's right there in the Super Mario Brothers 2 manual. This is the
all right,
when Huel read that manual when he was a kid. That is what made him into the man he is today, or the quote man he is today.
It's why you always read the manual.
I like the idea of Qbert and Birdo being related.
Well, there is a qbert.wikia.com.
Oh god.
and yet they also they don't say what he is either. So,
well, you guys
crazy.
You guys are all wrong, because Qbert is just actually a nice little kitty cat, but he was mauled by a jungle cat and hit by a car, and it left him a little deformed, broke his vocal box so he can't meow anymore, he just makes those weird sounds. And so you guys have all been very mean-spirited talking about poor little Qbert. Now, just a little kitty cat.
Can we – go ahead.
Did the jungle cat turn him into coffee in some way? Because he seemed...
Oh, please. He's not a coffee. He's not a coffee bean to be eaten and then shat out and then to be consumed as a delicacy.
Oh, okay.
Can we all just stop beating around the bush and say that he looks like a fleshlight with a generous reservoir receptacle at the end?
I've never thought that.
Well, that, I mean,
it never occurred to me, but I'm just saying.
We're not about pointing out the obvious stuff on the show.
Okay, sorry.
We have to think of the layers. Like, what are they really saying? What is the undertones?
This show is taking a turn. Also, maybe for the next Oscar show or for an Emmy show, there's also something called Saturday Supercade, which is Qbert is a television show based on the game of the same name.
I watched that.
19 episodes.
I watched that growing up, being the old man that I am. And can I just say this too? I just want to say that I formulated, even though you probably received it afterwards, I just want to point out that I formulated my Qbert question before the Qbert chat that occurred on last week's episode with Cosmo, or whatever the last episode was that Cosmo was on and you guys chatted about Qbert. Yeah, I had already formulated and sent my question, even though I had not yet listened to the episode. So just saying.
You two
Qbert's
had,
in the air.
Yeah, you two had cues on the mind.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's wrap up a little bit here. Todd, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we signed off?
Yeah. Why don't you lead an army instead of touching me?
I hope that's something one of the characters says when you click on them. Otherwise it's very disturbing. Huel, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Gloctar.
Paul, thanks so much for guessing. Why don't you give your show a plug?
So if anybody wants to listen to my other show, it's AfterPod. You can find us at afterpod.net or on iTunes or any of the other typical podcast distribution venues.
Is there anything else you wanted to add or say before signing off here?
At your command.
Oh,
I don't.
Awesome. sounds a little weird, but
well, that was the Elven thing, and they said it. You know, they said it a little like, at your command.
Sounds a little Fifty Shades, but let's just move on. All right. On that note, let me play everyone out with a snifferoo from next week's game.